Well, we're glad that you all made it out safely, and you came to be here with us this morning. So let us stand and sing, God is good all the time.
Thank you, Caitlin. Maybe you recognize that song. It's from a little while back about I get on my knees. So whenever I have cares or trials, that's where we find in God's presence, and that's a good place to be. Maybe that's kind of our theme today. If you're stressed, going through some difficult times, get into God's presence and he'll lift you up and he'll help you through that time. Excited about starting this new series today. It's called Starting Point. And I put on your outline for you that sometimes when we're going through things in our life, we're going to talk about where faith begins. It's our hope that over these next few weeks that you can look at your faith honestly and say, when did that start in my life? How has that developed along the way? Where am I now in my relationship with God? Am I closer than I used to be? Maybe I've drifted back a little bit. Where do I want to go? And so we just want to be honest. So hopefully that through this time in the series that we're going to look at, and Sunday school is discussing some of those questions as well, that you'll feel free to ask questions. You'll free to maybe something that seems, maybe think it's silly to ask, but go ahead and ask it. You can write a question on the card, and I'll get your card, and maybe we'll try to deal with it. I know somebody even asked me last week. They said, sometime, deal with this thing of predestination. God's in control, but I have free will, and I struggle with that. So maybe we need to discuss that a little bit more. But how does that work? What's about God's already predestined things for me, and yet I have a choice in it? So that is hard for people sometimes to deal with. Maybe some other questions will come up as we go through this series that you'll want to ask. So feel free to ask them. Put them on a card, text me. I have my phone number. I can get text. You can text them, and then we can try to deal with them to help us grow in our faith if we're not afraid to ask some of those questions sometimes. So we want to look back and see where things started. Everything has a starting point is the first thing I put on your outline there for you. Whether maybe it was some romance when you were a child or maybe your formal education, maybe it's your job, maybe parenting, all things in our life, they start somewhere. With God, he doesn't have a start because he's always been, but we do. It starts somewhere, and our faith started somewhere. I don't know where your faith started. My faith started in church probably before I was born, because just like Caitlin's carrying a baby, I was carried to church before I was born, probably heard the hymns. And then ever since I was a child, my dad was a pastor, so I grew up in the church. Everybody didn't do that. Some of you maybe had no experience in church. Maybe you went to a different type of a church, different type of faith. Maybe your parents didn't even talk about God in your life. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe you went to a Catholic school. Maybe you went to a camp, and that's where you learned about God. And so a lot of different questions. Maybe in school you heard somebody talking about it, but somehow God came to you along the way. Or maybe you're still in that process of coming to you. For me, I think a lot of my faith was developed through Bible stories, because I read that ever since I was a kid, and the Old Testament is where a lot of our Bible stories came from. And my parents liked to read to me, but actually, a lot that we know about God's character comes from those Old Testament Bible stories. I always like Daniel in the lion's den because my name's Daniel and I got in trouble a lot, so being in the lion's den, I like to read about that, how God can shut the lion's mouths, and protect us through that. David and Goliath, who a little boy can kill a big giant if he has faith and uses the gifts that he has. Three Hebrew children thrown into a fiery furnace, but there's somebody with them in that. God's presence is still there. Or the plagues, that God took the children of Israel out of Egypt and all his power that he had, and he delivered his own people, or crossing the Red Sea. Or New Testament stories like Jesus calming a storm and how he can calm storms in our life. So a lot of what I believe about God came from those stories and has influenced me. And I'd like you to think about, what in your life has influenced you about God, and what do you believe about God? We try to do through our choruses and things, say, God is good. He's a good father. Maybe you view him as a good father. Maybe you didn't have a good father and you say, I don't understand that. Maybe you think he's a police officer or someone who's just after you or trying to catch you off guard, or maybe he's here out to punish you. He's like a judge. I don't know where you came from or what your background is, but we're all at different places in our faith of that understanding. So everything has a starting point. Your faith, B, also has a starting point, and that's where we're asking you to go back and look at it. And C under that, looking back, is that many adults need a restart. Because maybe, you know, you heard some of those Bible stories like Jonah and the whale. And you thought, well, that's kind of crazy. You know, at the same time, you learned about Santa Claus. And you thought, well, maybe it's just kind of a fairy tale. Maybe it didn't make a lot of sense that a fish is going to swallow up somebody and then 3 days later going to spit them out. Maybe you got to school and they talked about evolution and said that creation is simply nonsense. There's no scientific proof to it. So you started thinking, well, I don't know whether I can believe this about God being the creator or not. Maybe you got to college and you always, you know, grew up thinking that the Bible was God's word and we should just believe what it said. And then all of a sudden people were telling you that, well, man put that together. You know, their councils got together. They decided what was going to be in there. And they were kind of prejudiced. And so some of the books might be okay, some aren't. And, you know, you have to pick and choose what the Bible is about. And so maybe you just kind of threw the Bible aside and said, well, I don't know if that's trustworthy. And so you might need a restart in your life because maybe you're confused about some things in your faith along the way. So hopefully, as we, you know, go through this series, you can ask the questions and you can find out maybe something even that's holding you back from becoming closer to God as you would like to be. But today I want to take you to the Apostle Paul, who had a really interesting experience, nothing probably like most of us in his start with God. He persecuted the church. Remember, he was the guy who didn't believe in Christ and what the church stood for, so he tried to throw him in prison, persecuted them, anything he could do, stood by while Stephen was stoned. And so he was really against the Christian faith until God met him on the road to Damascus, a blinding light. He was blinded, knocked off his horse, you know, and God spoke to him in a voice. You know, anybody's had that kind of experience? I haven't. You know, and he said, you know, why are you persecuting me? And so he becomes a follower of Christ, and he's the author of a lot of the books in the New Testament, and he was probably the biggest evangelist in the early church of spreading the gospel because God came to him and worked through him. So looking at his experience in Acts chapter 17, we're going to look at how he talks to people who were kind of like a culture like ours. They worshipped a lot of different gods. Our culture today worships a lot of different gods. They think there's multiple ways to get to heaven. In general, if you talk to people, there's not just one way, there's multiple ways. A lot of people today worship the created things instead of the creator. That's what idol worship is, which would be worshiping your money, your fame, your power, your prestige, who you are, your wisdom, anything like that, or your pleasures in life is simply an idol that you're worshiping. So let's look at what the Apostle Paul tells us about what are some essentials that are going to help us get grounded in our faith and where we can start in our faith. Acts chapter 17, I'd like to begin reading at verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in that city. He went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and he spoke daily in the public square to all who happened to be there. He also had a debate with some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. When he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, "What's this babbler trying to say with these strange ideas he's picked up?" Others said he seems to be preaching about some foreign gods. Then they took him to the high council of the city. "Come and tell us about this new teaching," they said. "You are saying some rather strange things, and we want to know what it's all about." It should be explained that all the Athenians, as well as the foreigners in Athens, seemed to spend all their time discussing the latest ideas. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. "Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, 'To an unknown God.' This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. He's the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and to turn to him. For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. When they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt, but others said, "We want to hear more about this later." That ended Paul's discussion with them, but some joined him and became believers. Among them were Dionysus, a member of the council, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Let's pray. God, I ask that you would teach us from the Apostle Paul how that maybe some things that can help ground our faith, and maybe how we can speak to others better about our faith and what a starting point might be for that conversation. I pray that you would guide us through this time in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I put on your outline for you the central truth that I must believe in the starting place for our faith is that Jesus died and rose again for my salvation. I think too many times when we're sharing our faith, we forget to talk about Jesus. We might talk about the Bible. Well, you know, the Bible's true. Let's pull out the four spiritual laws. Let's go through them and list them out, when someone might not even believe that the Bible's true or even understand what the Bible is. And that doesn't mean that it's unauthoritative or we shouldn't use it. But the beginning point for Paul, when he was talking in the early church, which they didn't even have the scriptures at that time because it was like maybe 300 years before they had the written words in their hand, he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about what happened to him on the road to Damascus. And every time Jesus calls people, he says, "Go tell people what I've done for you in your life." I think so many times we talk to people about what the Bible says or what the church says, but we don't tell them about Jesus. We might talk to them about God and say, "Well, God is here," and maybe that's kind of a beginning point for us, but the key to salvation is Jesus. You see, Jesus will offend people, and so they might turn you away, because when you start talking about there's only one way of salvation, and it was God's Son, Jesus, and he was holy, and he came to earth, and he died for us, people think it's strange. These people, "Well, that's strange teaching." Or that he could rise from the dead. You know, was he superhuman? Because all the other prophets, they died, you know, and there's graves, you can find them, but Jesus, you can't find anybody in his grave because he's gone. He resurrected. The other religions aren't claiming their human teachers were resurrected, but Jesus was resurrected from the grave because he was God. He had the power in himself to raise himself from the dead. He has power to raise us from the dead. He gives us hope of eternal life. We need to talk about Jesus. You need to ask yourself then, in relationship to yourself, who's Jesus to me? And I've had a lot of people come into the church from different denominations, and their church never talked about having a personal relationship with Jesus. They talked about serving people, loving your neighbor, obeying the Ten Commandments. They didn't talk about Jesus. So Paul would say, you know, the beginning, the central truth is, what's Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? And share that. You know, people can't argue with you about who your faith or experience that you've had. They can't argue with you about, well, is the Bible true or it isn't true, but you can say, well, I've met this Jesus, or I have a personal relationship with him, and so that's a good place to start. I think then Paul goes on and he shows us, as he's talking to these people who are idol worshipers and don't even have a basis for faith, some underlying things that we need to build on. And so I put them on your outline for you too, and maybe it's kind of a struggle, but I think the society was pretty much like it is today. A, there's a God who created everything. Creation's important because you need to believe that there's a God before you can worship a God, before you can bow before a God. And a lot of people back in those days, they worshiped the things that they had made. So I worship a gold idol or a silver idol, or I build a tower to the sky, I worship that. Or I worship some person because they're over this whole nation. And you know, Paul says there's a God who created us, bigger than us, greater than us. He's not served by us. You know, he is not bound to us. But when you went to school, perhaps you heard the evolution. I didn't go to school, that's why I can't speak the word. But you know, you heard about that where they said, well, you know, creation isn't scientific, which isn't true, because evolution is just as much a theory as creation. Nobody was there to see it happen, but you just start at a different point, and then you just decide how things came from that. You know, the Bible says, though, that all of us are without excuse when we stand before the judgment seat of God, because he's put such a design in the universe that we're going to be without excuse. And if you really look at all the design, if you look at your human body, if you look at the little cells, how can that just happen? How can that come together? It'd be like me thinking, you know, I can take a pile of dirt, I'll stick it out in the parking lot, and I'll put a stick of dynamite in it and blow it up, you know, the Big Bang Theory, and then I'm going to find a pocket watch sitting out there. Now, that's pretty stupid to think, isn't it? But a pocket watch is pretty simple compared to a human body or anything else in creation, but that's, we just think it can just blow up and everything is going to come together in design. It doesn't happen. You look at everything. Everything is in design. Also, you will find you don't see evolution happening anywhere. You see things decaying. You don't see things getting better. I've never seen an ape turning into a person. I've never seen a fish turning into a cat. I've never seen a dog turning into a bird. You know, species don't cross. I mean, we, you know, kind of intertwine things a little bit, but they still don't change their kind, and you don't see things evolving. What you do is you see a design. You see that God made a design, that God is the creator, and that's a good place maybe for a foundation to begin, that there is a God because there's a designer. And many people who have been atheists said that's what brought them to faith, was looking at the design and saying, you know, when I look at the stars, when I realize that anything out of place would destroy the world, there's something not only that created it, but something that's holding it together. That gives me a basis to believe that the God's there. So that's an important thing that he brings to them. B, an underlying purpose and guidance for our faith is that God created me and he sustains me. Not only did he make the world, but he can somehow, he can communicate with me. He can somehow come into contact with me. He actually cares about me. He didn't just create the world and go on vacation and then just leave it to go on its own, but he actually interacts with me. He actually knows what's going on in my life, and he actually sustains me. He gives me breath. He gives me every day of my life that there's a God that's personal with me. That's an underlying basis for our faith. C, God loves me, and he wants me to find him. I think, you know, that's Paul's message so clear to these people that, you know, first of all, he doesn't condemn them for their different beliefs. He says, I see you're religious, but let me tell you about a God who created you. Let me tell you about a God who loves you. And so he shared that God put us in certain place, in a certain time, in a certain nation, so that we might find him. He wants us to find him, and he's not far from us. Isn't it good to know he's not far from you? Sometimes don't you feel like God's a long ways away? I can't connect with him. Paul says he's not far from any one of us. And part of the reason of bringing him close is to understand that he loves you and he is on your side and he wants you to find him. And when you start believing that, then you can see him in things around and you'll be able to search for him. God loves me and he wants me to find him. And D, a basis for our faith is that I'm accountable to God. You know, Paul says God's not accountable to us. No, you didn't create the universe. I didn't create the universe. There's a creator who put everything into place, and he designed everything, and I can't tell God what to do, and he doesn't need me. He can survive on his own, but he wants me. But I'm going to be accountable someday to him for how I've used his resources, how I've had faith in him, whether I've believed in his son and the plan that he brought or not, and I'm going to stand before him, and I'm going to be without excuse because he's God. And he's put enough in nature and everything around me that I will know that there's a designer and there's someone that I should be bowing before. So I'm going to be accountable to God as a basis for our belief. And then I put on your outline, again, you got this creator who's a sustainer and he's sovereign control, but then we have that free will coming through again that we must choose to believe. God does not force any of us to believe in him. He does not force us to choose him. Even though he created us, he wants us to love him because we choose to. And there's several responses that were given here in the scripture. Some people sneer. They make fun of. They ridicule the Christian faith. Oh, that can't ever happen, and I'm not even going to consider it. The next thing is that some people need more information. And maybe you're at that point. Maybe you've heard some things, but maybe they're confusing to you. That's all right. It's all right to have questions. It's good to have questions. God wants us to ask questions. He's not far from us, and sometimes it's our questions that bring us closer to him. And so don't be afraid to ask the questions that you need to ask or to get the information that you need. And then some believe, they've come to the point, they're not resisting it, and they've got enough information, they believe it, and they follow. Now, believing and follow are both important, because a lot of people believe, but they don't follow. A lot of people say, oh yeah, I'm sure there was a Christ, I think he died for my sins, but I'm not following him. You know, a lot of people, the whole American culture says, I'm a Christian. That doesn't mean they are, because Christian means Christ follower. And, you know, those who believe in him, according to John 1, and receive him. are the ones who find life. So you have to believe, but you have to receive. You have to believe, but you have to follow. And so you have to dedicate yourself to seeking him if you want to find him. So in that choice and in this foundation that we kind of lead, these are some questions. Where are you in the process of faith? I hope you can work through that this week. Maybe you can talk to somebody about it. Are you just starting to search for answers, or do you feel settled in your beliefs? And that doesn't make one person better than another. You know, if you're questioning, that's fine. You know, you didn't grow up in a Christian home like I did and inherited Bible stories from the time I was born. You know, so, I mean, look how old I am. It's taken me a long time to figure it out. You know, so don't think that questions or doubts at some point are bad. They're good things that draw you closer to God when you ask them and you seek those answers. When did faith begin for you? You know, and we're trying to get you to really go back and look at those things because we're supposed to be witnesses to our faith. So you need to think through that. How did I come to faith? How maybe somebody else might come to faith? How did God work in my life? And I wouldn't be surprised everybody's different. You know, anybody have an Apostle Paul experience? I didn't. You know, maybe you just came to understanding of your faith. Maybe you're just getting to that point. You know, everybody is different in how God draws them. Who do you believe Jesus to be? That's a key question. Who is Jesus to you? What place does Jesus have in your life? And then are you actively sharing your faith with others? Because I think a lot of us, we get to the point, we're settled in our faith. We know it's true and we believe, but we're not really sharing our faith. And Paul would say, you know, that's what we're called to do, is to share our faith, because there are other people around us. Remember, God put us in this time and place around the people we are, so as many people as possible can come to faith. They're looking to us. We are the people that those other people are going to look to. So we need to know our faith, be ready to share our faith and understand it. And so that's kind of why we're going through this series. It maybe seems fundamental to you, but I think it can help all of us grow as we examine that and find out what the basis for our faith really is. Again, if you have questions, maybe as we went through that, you know, I might even think of the question. You might have a question. Feel free to text me, put it on a card, and we'll see if we can bring it up and talk about it, maybe help everybody grow in their faith. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would be with us and help us as we search for a deeper faith, and we search to be better in sharing our faith with others, that you would guide us in this process. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship team is going to come and lead us out. We're going to go down and have soup. I hope that you can join us for that. I'm still debating whether we're going to have our society meeting or not, depending on whether we have enough people. So we're going to look at that. If we have enough people, we can go ahead with the society meeting or not. But we certainly hope that you can join us for that process. Before we go to that, I had an announcement that I needed to share with you also. A lot of you already know, or some of the board members. I had, with this stem cell transplant and things that I've been going through, been doing a lot of evaluating and where I'm at in life. And I had decided that I'm going to be retiring this year. And so it's kind of going to be a transition time for the church here in several different in months. Our board, the official board, will be meeting with different people as possible candidates. Superintendent will bring in some different people to look at. But the end of April is our conference, so there's not a lot of time. But I will be here till the end of June, because I told them that I can't really make a transition before that with a lot of different stuff that's going on in our life. So we're just praying and we're believing that God's going to bring somebody in that's going to be able to really have a vision and take the church forward. But I really believe that God has moved me into different areas of ministry, different retirement plans. I'm going to be working, doing different jobs, but I have different grandbabies that are going to be born. They're going to be a different, you know, distance away. I'm looking to have a little more freedom on the weekends to be going to visit them. So it'll be a transition time as well. Nothing against the church or feeling bad. It's just what I've felt that the Lord has been leading me towards. And we just know that if God leads in that direction, he's also going to provide. So we're just going to be praying that God brings in, you know, the right person. And we know that's going to happen to continue to lead this church forward. Let's just close, and we're going to thank the Lord for the food. And then we're going to go out singing God is Good all the time. And so we hope that you can join us downstairs for that potluck as well. Lord, we're thankful that you are in control. And sometimes life directs us in different ways, and sometimes that's kind of scary, but then we have to trust you, and we have to rely on you, and we know that you will lead everything for the best as we follow you. And I thank you for everyone that's even come out today, and I just pray your blessing upon this food, Super Bowl, and the parties that people have with their families today. Pray your continued blessing on this church and during this transition time, knowing that you will work and you will guide all things for your good. In Jesus' name, amen.